Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky and I'm here with my regular chum, Matt Stewart. Hello, Matt.
Just a regular chum.
Just a regular chum. No P, just a chum. And we are joined by
Jess Perkins.
No, I'm afraid that Jess is away. So we've had to sub in an irregular chum. I just looked at our guest and you were really shocked.
Yep.
I've been in the room the whole time.
I know, that's the weird thing about it. I was like, anyway, Jess, why'd you keep responding to Jess? Well, in a really Jesse voice.
Well, that's true. I do generic dumb guy voice.
Playing the role of generic dumb guy, if I can introduce you properly, it is our friend and frequent guest and collaborator, it's Nick Mason.
It's me, guys. I'm the Zeppo Marx of this podcast.
Zeppo Marx. He's the one. He's the replacement one.
He's the replacement one, yeah.
Who'd he come in for?
Is he the funny one?
No, he's not the funny one.
A great name.
He's renowned as the background Marx brother. He's just there sometimes.
Right, making up the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
See, yeah. Did someone die or something?
I think he was one of the original Marx brothers.
So he's a genuine way.
Right.
Yeah. Genuine brother. So there is.
I don't think. Yeah. Look, I don't have any more information.
I was hoping
you guys had done a Marx Brothers episode.
We haven't done
and you'd
one.
Fill in the blanks.
It is in the hat, I'm pretty sure.
I put it up to the vote once, but they didn't choose it.
Got defeated by, what, Charlie Chaplin or something?
It was another Brothers episode. The Wright
Smothers
Brothers.
Smothers Brothers.
Yeah.
Great.
The Smothers Brothers murderers.
Well, that's good.
Anyway, it's great to be here.
It's great to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be anywhere. To be out of the house. That's great.
You've been on some holidays though.
Had a little week off. It's been great.
What have you been up to?
Sleeping and doing other podcasts.
Wow. Yep. You pod like, for life.
Sounds like a great holiday, doesn't it?
Yep.
You don't really holiday.
I'm a staycation man.
You take a big holiday at comedy festival time and just you work harder than anyone at the festival because you see all our shitty shows.
They're great shows.
Sorry, great shows.
Yeah, back yourself.
Are you going to take a holiday to go see my show? With Alistair Tremblay-Burchill from Two in the Think Tank, another Planet Broadcasting podcast, which you are like the head honcho of, sort of.
Yeah, not really, but
you're like a figurehead.
In this, yes, exactly. I'm like the mascot.
Yeah.
I'm like the Mr. Sparkle of...
Yeah, if you combine a fish and a light bulb, it does form your face.
Exactly right.
Oh, Mr. Sparkle, as they said in The Simpsons.
Matt's favourite Simpsons quote is just the two words, Mr. Sparkle.
No, oh, Mr. Sparkle.
Three words, pardon me.
Yes. Fuck, this is a rock solid start.
Look, it's very early in the morning.
We normally do this show at night.
Yeah.
I've normally been awake for more than a couple of hours.
Look, on the one hand, this is probably the earliest anyone's ever recorded a podcast on a Saturday. But on the other hand, maybe this is like the golden hour for podcasting. Right. Like once we get into it, we produce the best podcast anyone's ever recorded.
So we just got to push through.
Got to push through, yeah.
It's always, yeah, I've heard that. There's sort of a mythical thing, the golden hour of podcasting.
Yeah, that's right.
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. And once you get through the first tough 5 minutes of awkward banter, it really opens up. What are we up to?
Here it is.
Oh, jeez.
We're 4 minutes 30. We haven't made it yet.
We are about to open up. Get ready, everyone. All right. Feeling good.
I'm going to kick off the report, should I?
Well, I think we should wait for this, the opening up, but sure.
Well, I think it might coincide with this question. So the way the show works, Dave, for those new to it, Mesa, you might be a bit rusty. You haven't been on in a little while.
That's right.
But it's great to have you back.
Thank you.
We do miss Jess, but... you know, it's nice to have a break sometimes. Everybody needs a little holiday.
Wow.
Except Nick Mason, who doesn't go on holidays.
No.
Never. Mm. Always on.
What? Oh, okay, yeah. So what I was saying is, the way the show starts is with a question.
To get us onto a topic that you've reported on. Mason and I don't know what topic this is.
And I traditionally ask the best questions, which I'm going to continue on today.
Why break with tradition?
I thought about asking a shitty question. With an open-ended answer that could be like many different things.
Mm-hmm. It takes us about 15 minutes and people at home are yelling, I've already read the iTunes description. I know what you're talking about.
But I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm once again going to ask a rock-solid question, only possibly one answer.
Are you thinking of the question right now? Is that what you're feeling?
What winged creature's presence is believed to foreshadow tragedy?
Winged creature's presence.
Tragedy. Is it some sort of black bird?
See, all right. So maybe there's two different answers.
Okay. Well, that's still a fairly narrow playing field. Yeah. That's not 100.
So it's the other one, obviously.
Oh, yeah, right.
All the best trivia questions have two possible answers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you can argue it later.
Yeah, exactly. It makes it more fun.
So it's not a black bird. This is a creature that sounds more like a character from some sort of a comic book that Mesa might like. But it's a real life thing.
Superman. But real.
He's always, well, I mean, look, I think you've confused correlation and causation there. He's often at the scene of disasters, but he's stopping the disaster. He's not causing the disaster.
No, I reckon Superman's like one of those fire bugs that's actually in the fire brigade.
Right, yeah.
He's doing all of the crimes just so he can save the day.
He's always throwing an asteroid at Earth so he can stop it.
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
Mesa, you know that Superman doesn't have wings, right?
How else does he fly?
He's got those big red wings, right?
How does he fly, Matt?
Fuck, I don't know. All right, I think you guys, sounds like you guys might not know this. Have you heard of the Mothman?
I'm aware of a film called The Mothman Chronicles.
Yes.
But I don't know anything about it.
Or is it The Mothman Prophecies?
That's what it is.
Evidently, I'm not familiar with The Mothman Prophecies.
I was going to say, how many Mothman movies can there be?
Have you guys seen that movie?
No. Richard Gere?
Richard Gere.
I haven't.
Well, it's based on this true event.
Whoa. Oh my goodness, I really hope that we talk about Richard Gere.
Same.
Well, I mean, you've already... The extent of what I've got written down is... It was turned into a movie starring Richard Gere.
Hey, we talked about Richard Gere. That's all I needed.
In a lot of ways, we've already covered that one off. So this was suggested. This is weird, right? You know in the hat how we have written down everyone who suggested it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The column was blank. I'm like, what the fuck? Anyway, I searched through Twitter and found these names, but there may be others from email and other things. I'm really sorry.
Including Richard Gere, who asked to be your own man.
I don't want to start with a conspiracy theory, but I think the Mothman may have deleted people's names.
Let's scratch them out from the hat.
From the hat, but also possibly from life. I don't know that for sure.
These people no longer exist.
I've got to stress that. I don't know that for sure.
You can't confirm it either way.
No, but I think it probably definitely has.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are the people who I did find to have suggested it. Elvis Nolasco.
That is not a real name.
But it's a great name.
The Mothman has changed someone's real name, James Smith, to Elvis Nolasco.
He's at Kryptonite. But only the Kryptonite is spelled with a 0 and a 3 and an underscore.
Right,
because at a 15.
You said at Kryptonite, and I thought, wow, he got in early. He did not get in early.
He got in super late.
Superman.
Super late.
Jesus.
Guys, it's another Superman episode. Let's do it.
Woo!
You just got people excited, Mace, so don't do that.
No, but Mothman.
Is Mothman a superhero? Is it like a shitty superhero?
There's a character called Killer Moth. He's a Batman villain.
Oh, no.
But he's like a terrible Batman. He's like an evil, low-rent Batman.
But does Batman just put the bat signal into the sky and the moth's like, damn it! And he just starts flapping towards it and he's done.
That's funny, Dave.
That's a comic book joke. I can't believe I've got one.
If you say something funnier than that today, I will be very surprised. Right. That was really good.
I think you're trying really hard now.
Guys, the podcast's opening up. We've hit the golden moment.
Yeah, exactly. We're opening up. This is good. We're peaking at the right time. Who else suggested this?
Fidel Reyes. He got in quicker. At Fidel Reyes _. Tyler Thompson. At Tyler Thompson 23. And Chesley Russell. And I double checked that. I'm like, they've got the L and the S around the wrong way there, but... No, Chesley. Chesley Russell at Chesley Scott. I like that name. Chesley.
Mm.
Sounds posh.
Doesn't it though, yeah.
Chesley. That's my posh. Chesley.
Guys, I'll do it in my dumb guy voice. I won't.
There's a very good chance that's being edited out.
Yeah, oh, sure, right? I'm going to keep referencing it.
You want that in. All right.
No, I won't. I won't. Scott.
In West Virginia, on November the 12th, 1966, the year the Saints won their only premiership,
I won't say a good year because Jess is not here.
But it was a good year.
It was a good year.
I think it's the second time I've referenced 1966.
Yeah, you love it.
And the second time you've referenced the Saints.
Only the second.
Ever.
Yeah.
And yeah, I never talk about them. They didn't make the finals this year, and I'm pretty happy to just leave that where it is. On the 12th of November 1966, five grave diggers were working at a cemetery digging a grave.
Is this a spooky episode?
Seems spooky already.
I mean, this probably is as spooky as it gets. I mean, it's grave diggers. What else do you want? Then all of a sudden, they saw a winged human-like creature fly over their heads. This is thought to be the first known sighting of the creature now known as the Mothman.
Wow. They saw wings, they saw someone flying, and they thought, that's a moth.
Well, no, they didn't name it. It wasn't named till later. Later that week, on November the 15th, a couple of couples, Stephen Mary Millett and Roger and Linda Scarberry...
Were they digging graves?
...were digging graves.
Very good.
On a romantic double date. Afterwards, they went for a drive. Maybe to a make-out point. Probably not. I don't know. Someone said that, Lover's Lane. But I did... Maybe the street was just called Lover's Lane, and I interpreted that as being like a old school 60s, you know, dogging scenario. Is that what dogging means? Someone explained dogging to me not that long ago. Anyway,
where were you when they were explaining it? Were you in the car?
I think I was on Gamey Game, the show about... Anyway, this is... Are we still in the golden hour?
I don't know.
Feels like we've slipped out of the golden
hour. I'm sorry.
It's the golden minute. So they were from Point Pleasant in West Virginia also, and they were out on a drive when they saw what they later described as a large flying man with 10-foot wings whose eyes glowed red, and he was standing on the road. They're obviously a little scared by it, so they swerved around and quickly drove away. At least they attempted to, because seconds later, the creature was back in front of the car.
No.
That scared the shit out of them, so they floored it. And travelled up to 100 miles an hour back towards the township of Point Pleasant.
But they didn't run it over.
They didn't run it over. Okay. Yeah. As they drove, though, the creature followed behind them, cruising along. I saw some people saying it was just like running at a cruising pace along the road, but keeping up with them at 100 miles an hour. Others said it was flying overhead.
Other people said that he was driving a Datsun 1600.
I thought you said you hadn't seen the movie. A lot of the movie is a guy with big wings driving around in a Datsun.
Datsun. Beep, beep.
It's a rom-com.
What do you reckon scarier? Someone flying at 100 miles or someone running at 100 miles behind you? Because if they're running, I'd be really scared.
Yeah, running feels scary.
That's so quick. That's like five times as fast as Usain Bolt.
But also, 100 miles an hour, that seems like a made-up speed. Like, we got out of there at 100 miles an hour. No, you didn't. No, you can't even do 100 miles an hour.
Dude, you drive a Datsun.
A 1960s Datsun?
Yeah. Good they drive 55 man. back in the day. Yeah, so,
old 55.
Look, I think this story's full of holes already. I'm the skeptic. I'm the Julian. Are you going to play Anderson. The skeptic? I'm the Scully this time around.
Dave? Well, I'm the fucking Mulder, and right. I'm so on board.
All right, then I guess I'm...
You're Doggett.
Doggett. Yeah. Is he the narrator?
No, Doggett was the... David Duchovny replacement in the later seasons.
Okay, yeah, I'm dog it.
Or you could be
our... And I'm a believer then as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
You could be our Walter Skinner.
You could be Skinner.
As our boss who seems skeptical but actually is on Mulder's team the whole time.
Maybe I'm that worm guy who goes in through the drains.
You could be the fluke man.
Fluke man. Yes. Oh, man. Can I be the fluke
man? You could be the fluke man, okay.
I want to be a recurring character like you are on this show.
Oh, yeah.
You're the fluke man to our show.
Guys, I'm the fluke. No, I won't do the voice. It's my fluke man voice. It doesn't matter. Anyway, I think this story's full of holes already, but...
Well...
So they're probably drunk.
Knowing I, back I'm in the 60s, drink driving was
everybody
big.
in this episode thus far is drunk. The gravediggers are drunk. The couples are drunk.
The mothman is drunk.
The mothman is definitely drunk. He's got those red eyes.
You can't drive 100 miles per hour drunk. You just can't. So I think they weren't drunk and that there is no holes in this story.
Classic Duchovny.
I'm going to fill in the holes. Not Scully.
As the car turned...
Classic romantic tension between Mulder and Scully.
So much. Will they?
Will they?
It's a bit of will they?
It's so inevitable. No one even doubted it for a second.
As the car turned a corner, the creature once again blocked their path. So this is after, you know, driving 100 miles an hour.
Around a corner.
Approximately. But rather than standing this time, it lay on the road. To the couples...
You'll never go around like a protester.
Mothman writes now.
He chained himself to the front of their car.
To the couples, it kind of resembled a lump, like a dead dog or something. But they knew it was the creature.
Still on board over here.
And they figured it was some sort of a trap, like it wanted them to come closer and investigate. This creature that could seemingly move at the speed of light, they thought had turned into a lump on the road to trick them. It was clearly a wily beast.
Wow, they are no longer on drinking alcohol. They are now extremely high.
I love the idea of them like thinking that this thing can just... It can move basically as fast as anything. Mm-hmm. But somehow its plan is to pretend to look like a dead dog on a road.
Yep.
So that they...
They'll get out and investigate.
Get out and investigate. Oh, look at this dead dog.
As soon as you start pursuing them didn't work, so...
Yeah. I kept standing in front of them, and that didn't work. Whatever my mysterious objective is.
As soon as you start thinking like that, you'll start turning on each other. Like, Mary in the back seat hasn't said anything for a while. Mary's the moth!
I knew it. Have you seen the moth and Mary at the same time?
I've never have, but I've been looking straight out the window because I've been driving this whole time.
It's hard to look and see the moth up in the sky and Mary in the backseat at the same time. Very hard to do.
Also in the sky, how high is the sky? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Foot off the ground. Doesn't count.
Doesn't count,
no. Could just been jumping.
They're talking about 50 feet off the ground.
Okay, that's significantly higher.
I'd be way more scared if it was managing to fly just 1 foot off the ground the whole time.
That's true, actually.
It's like hugging the road.
Early hoverboard.
Incredible.
Or it's just waiting for you to blink, and it just pops. Hops in between blinks.
Oh. Have you seen, sometimes people do those photos online where they're jumping onto a broom?
Yes.
To get the photo that looks like they're flying. Very fun. Very fun time.
Let's do it after the show, guys.
Let's do it after the show. Let's pause. All right, we're back. We've just taken those photos. Didn't work.
Yeah,
so you'll never see them.
Snapped several brooms.
Worth it.
So many.
It was worth it.
We snapped so many I couldn't even pronounce the word several anymore. I now have a bad injury that's distracting me. The broom went up me.
Wow, it's that romantic tension we were talking about earlier.
Scully, you're a doctor. Can you get this broom out of my ass?
Ugh. Will they?
Will they?
So they didn't fall for the trap, the well-constructed dead dog lump trap. And they continued driving back to town at speed, heading straight to the cops to report the incident. On speed as well. Yeah, they're a real cocktail of drugs they were on. Later that night, they returned back to the spot where the beast lay on the road, this time with the deputy sheriff in tow.
Oh, it's a long drive out there with the sheriff, isn't it?
I know, the pressure.
It's a dog. But it's not a dog, it's a mothman.
It's a mothman playing a trick. It's another prank by the bloody trickster mothman.
I mean, we didn't go near it to examine it because that's part of his trick.
Yeah, we're not idiots. Yeah.
But if you could we'll get there, just pump some bullets into it and then we'll leave. Then don't examine it.
Please
then we'll
don't
go
examine
again.
It because that's what it wants.
And if you could provide us with
more
some
than
medals,
anything,
just give us the
examined.
Key to the city. And then
yes. Tape parade.
It just wants attention.
It does. Bullets. So far, that is what it sounds like. It's like standing in front of the car. Huh?
Just wants
Fuck off, Mothman. No one's interested.
Just want a friend.
When they arrived, the lump was nowhere to be seen. And a mysterious pile of dust was in its place.
Like a moth?
Possibly. Is that what happens to moths?
Well, that's what happens. Mothra, he makes like poison dust. So that's probably... It's my closest reference. I don't know anything about moths, but I know a little bit about Mothra. So.
Is Mothra like... Is he like Godzilla's friend?
He's like Godzilla's friend, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think Godzilla's involved?
Probably.
Wow. I mean, I didn't... That's not in this report.
Oh, well.
But this almost... Already I feel like there's a sequel coming on to
Godzilla
this.
Man.
Yeah.
Flying 50 feet in the air.
Yep.
Over the coming days, many more sightings were reported, and the sightings began getting traction in the local press, mainly being ridiculed.
sightings? Bullshit. Hey, they wrote about our moth.
But it was in one of these news reports that the creature was dubbed Mothman. Possibly, I read that it was possibly because Batman was popular at the time and they needed a name to differentiate. Is that what the TV series...
Batman, that was 1966-ish, yes. I think. Yeah, the movie was 66, so...
So, yeah, apparently it was big time back then. And, but what was your Batman's moth?
Nemesis? Oh, Killer Moth.
Killer Moth.
Wasn't in the TV series. Too right. threatening. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. Mr. Freeze, he was in there.
I really
Egghead.
Feel like...
Egghead? Egghead.
That sounds great. Mr. Freeze is in the TV series. Arnold, like the Arnold Schwarzenegger, no, similar like at all to him?
No, he was more. He was just a like a delightfully pleasant man with a freeze gun.
Right,
it was
right.
Very non-threatening.
Did he have a thick Austrian accent?
No, just a regular accent.
Stick to the character.
Was
come
he super
on.
Camp?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And the suit was orange, I think.
Great.
Yeah.
Tights.
Oh yeah. More like a beekeeping outfit than a.
I so want to derail this episode. Just talk about Batman now.
Louis the Lilac. Was another Batman villain.
Louis the Lilac.
Yeah, Milton.
And
Burl.
What he wore lilac.
Just wore lilac. That was his. That was his thing.
They're really running out of ideas.
Mm, yeah.
The costume department's got a lilac pants and a matching jacket.
That'll do.
Louis.
Were any created? Any bad guys created specifically for the show that weren't from the comics?
Louis the Lilac. That's yeah. Oh, King Tut.
King Tut.
Mm, yeah.
The curse.
The Pharaoh's curse.
That's right.
It's come back to haunt us yet again.
I don't know if you can hear that, guys, but the doorbell is just rung at the studio.
Mm.
Is it some sort of moth? Man.
You had me at moth.
You had me at man. What if it's a man at the door?
What if it's a moth?
I'm not going to get it.
It's very threatening. That'd to me, especially if there's a man at the door.
But if you just opened the door and there was just a moth sort of hovering at eye level, I'd be terrified.
I hadn't connected that. Moths hover as well. Do you think I could be related? Do you think that's a coincidence or do you think that's something?
It is a coincidence.
Oh, thank God. My blood just ran cold.
Like a moth's.
Can I confirm a moth's blood temperature?
You can't confirm it. You may as well bloody be moth man.
This golden, is a big I miss scenario. That golden one, hour, don't one of us is the moth man. We're all trapped in this podcast studio. One of us is the Mothman. We'll find out who it is by the end.
Wow.
Yeah, it could be any one of us. But it can't be me because I've pointed out the theory that it could be one of us.
That is classic Mothman. He's a trickster.
No, guys. Yeah.
This is Lump on the Road all over again.
In a few seconds, you'll be a dead dog in that chair and then we'll know.
Oh, man. Got to really and focus then, on not being a dead dog.
And then you'll be a mysterious pile of dust, if I can quote the earlier part of that.
Nick, don't. During the next few days, other people reported similar sightings. Some say there were more than 100 sightings, but this number seems to be greatly exaggerated. The big believers in Mothman always talk about this number of 100 sightings.
Mm, 100 miles an hour.
200 people have been affected by the Mothman. 100 seen him directly. Whoa. Some of them just felt his presence.
Oh my goodness.
And then, but yeah, then other more skeptical sources are like, nah, that's not right at all. These silly fucking believers. But I mean, I don't know. Who's really silly in that situation? The people who believe in a large Mothman creature, or yep. The people who think that that's bullshit?
Clearly the latter.
Yeah, yeah. Open your heart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Open your heart to new ideas.
You're only on this earth for, you know... I mean, if you're the Mothman...
3 days?
Several hundred years.
Oh, no. I went the wrong way.
That's the thing about Mothman. No one knows.
No one knows.
Yeah. I mean, moths would only live for 3 days.
But men...
As a guess.
Mm. Who knows
men,
how long
men up to 100. So Mothman, obviously you multiply.
100.
300 years.
300 yep. years. Yeah, I think that's how it works. So Batman, that's why he has lived... But I found out recently on your podcast that there's new Batman.
New
Batman. So there's that's the plural of...
Yes, Batman.
Batman is
yes,
Batman.
Batman, yes. Yep.
You that change like... all the A's to E's to pluralize
that's
a word.
That's right, like yep. the Italian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Malto Bene.
Batman is the...
Malto Bene, because I wanted to... Oh. But yeah, so... All right, this is sidetracked again. Sorry to the people who don't give a fuck about Batman and just want to hear about Mothman, because there's probably some people who are listening to this podcast for the first time because they're really fascinated about Mothman. If you made it this far, I'll be very surprised, to be honest, but still, I apologize, but I got a question about Batman.
I'm ready.
So Bruce Wayne isn't the only Batman.
How so?
Robin becomes Batman?
Correct, at some
and
point.
And some other guy becomes Batman.
Oh, there's been heaps of Batmans.
What?
Yeah.
So
he had a little back injury in the 90s. He was replaced.
And you reckon that...
What do you mean a back injury? You sub someone in.
Yeah, he subs that guy in.
I can't go on, my back's too sore. You can be Batman.
Hey, Rando, if you could just get in there.
The guy's name was Rando?
No, it was not. It wasn't Rando.
Wow, that would have been great.
Mm, we'll talk about it off air, but there's been so many Batmans.
No, this is a sizzle for when you come back and do a Batman episode.
You got to do a Batman episode.
Okay, I'll do a Batman episode.
If we get at least 3 tweets about it. Setting that by a high. A man named Newell Partridge.
Newell?
Newell. Look, I'm...
No, I'm not questioning it. I'm just praising
some
it.
Of these.
I am questioning it because the partridge is the natural enemy of the moth. So whatever he's going to say is going to be very suspect.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said he came across the creature, and when he shined his torch at it, its eyes glowed red like bicycle reflectors. Some say.
Then he turned his indicators on and left.
I can still hear the Mothman. Ring, ring, ring. Ring, ring.
His eyes glowed red like bicycle reflectors and his wings spun around.
His wheels spun around.
Like
he put it into fourth gear and
with
floored
with pokey dokes.
Clack-a-clack.
He also believed the creature was to blame for buzzing noises from his TV and the disappearance of his German Shepherd.
Oh, man, you can blame a lot of things on it. My dinner was cold last night. Mothman!
That's so good. I assume you're going to make a funny joke there, but I wrote the same one just in case.
Was
I said,
it also cold
I
dinner?
Said, well, I said, he also blamed his chicken cacciatore for being a little bland.
We both went food, very good. Do you reckon Noel is in West Virginia is eating chicken cacciatore?
I reckon he is.
In the 60s.
In a very short amount of time, the thing that sounded the funniest to me.
That is funny.
It's a classic, it's a comedy meal. If you want a real peek behind the curtain, I change it from Parmigiana. And I went, I reckon I can do better than this. Maybe I spent too much time on that one word.
Not enough on the report.
Many attributed...
Imagine if he'd built the entire report around the funny chicken dish in the middle.
Oh, no.
Everything spun out of that.
I think I was thinking about birds a lot because a lot of the skeptics say what people were seeing were birds.
Uh-huh.
So maybe that's why I was thinking chicken. Bikes and birds.
They'd never come across a bird in West Virginia in that time. Mm. They hadn't migrated that far west into Virginia.
A couple of volunteer firemen had said it. They'd seen what they thought was the Mothman, but they were pretty sure it was just a large bird with red eyes. The county sheriff, George Johnson, believed the sightings were due to an unusually large heron, which is another kind of bird. And a West Virginia University biologist, Dr. Robert Smith, from The Cure...
I was going to say from The Cure.
...said that the descriptions were all consistent with that of a large bird called the Sandhill Crane, with a 7-foot wingspan and reddish colouring around its eyes.
Ooh.
Though they are not native to the area.
Unlike the Mothman.
That's right. Robert Smith took some time out from his ongoing thesis that boys don't cry and... Well, I'm looking at pictures of the heron. That doesn't look that scary, if I'm honest with you. It's got a weird little neck.
No one's thinking that's
a... Narrow little neck.
And that's standing in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
That doesn't look like a man.
And that can't turn into a dog. And then a mysterious pile of dust.
I reckon that could become a lump.
Could definitely become a lump if you hit it with your car, sure. Yeah. Mm.
In an interview with IGN, are you familiar with IGN?
It's like a video game website?
So
okay.
A pretty good source.
Yeah, they've been around longer than I thought.
Yeah, so well, no, this...
1966.
This was around the time the movie that we did talk about before in 2002 was coming out. They interviewed Lauren Coleman, a cryptozoologist, which is like an expert in mystery animals.
Mm. So jackalopes and such.
So the ones that believe in bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and spread it around.
But if you have ologists at the end, like UFOologists, UFOologists.
Yeah, like our friend Stanton Friedman.
Yeah, the Friedman.
Remember Stanton? who was a big Roswell believer.
Anyway, Lauren Coleman talked about how Keel... Have I mentioned Keel yet? No, so that makes it... All right, let me try that again. I moved a few things around. Okay, so in an interview with IGN, Lauren Coleman was talking about this man, John Keel, who was called to the area to report on the sightings. He was a journalist, but also a bit of a believer, a bit of a ufologist, etc. And he was...
Let's throw UFOs into this as well.
He did.
Nice, good.
I don't go into it too much, but there was a bunch of UFO sightings at the same time as well. He was like, it's a bloody hotbed for paranormal activity.
West Virginia.
Keel was like, this is... It felt like he was talking about it like it was that... Have you ever watched Buffy?
Yeah.
The Hellmouth. He was talking about it was a Hellmouth. Just crazy shit's happening here. According to that IGN report and Coleman's interview, as Keel began to gather information, he found himself getting more deeply involved in the events. To the extent that, according to Coleman, there were entities that communicated with John by phone.
Oh! The Mothman could use a phone!
What do you mean?
I don't know what that means.
Bring, bring. No!
An entity.
It's them calling.
Someone's talking to me on a phone.
Well, he can interfere with the TV broadcast.
He can make a bit fuzzy.
Yeah, so maybe he can talk on a phone. But he's part man.
These just sound like people that are just terrified by technology. Mm. Oh no, the fridge! It kept my chicken cacciatore quite cold!
Coleman went on to say that Keel found Point Pleasant to be a vortex of phenomena, the Hellmouth sort of idea, and couldn't really tell one from the other. One phenomena from another.
Phenomena.
It was a scary situation for John, according to Coleman.
Yeah.
He had begun to be given prophecies by the entities.
Via the phone.
I assume he means people, just people are... Entity sounds funner.
Yeah.
He had begun to be given prophecies by the entities he was dealing with in Point Pleasant. One of these said that when President Johnson turned on the Christmas lights at the White House, the whole Northeast was going into a blackout.
Oh, no, they did not check the fuse box.
That was one of the prophecies, right? And then on December 15th...
Oh, no.
When President Johnson turned on the Christmas lights, John Keel was in his apartment in Manhattan, New York City, I believe. Waiting for the blackout with his bottled water and his batteries, nothing happened.
So he just enjoyed some bottled water battery soup and he got on with his life.
No.
Oh.
6 minutes later, on the TV set across the bottom, it said, "Bridge collapses across Ohio River," and he just freaks out, apparently.
It's just like a blackout.
It's just like a blackout across the whole Northeast.
Yeah.
Keel freaked out because the bridge in question was the Silver Bridge, which crossed the Ohio River between Gallipolis, Ohio. Shout out to Ohio.
Yeah, we're really happy Ohio got in there.
Crosses from Ohio to Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's a coincidence. More, what's a coincidence? It's more like...
A big coincidence.
A big coincidence, yeah.
It's the Mothman taking out the only bridge in town can't leave.
But I love the idea that he's gone. He's waiting for one thing. He's like, oh, this other thing. This could be this is what it was.
No, because see, if he wasn't in his apartment waiting for the blackout, he wouldn't have seen it on the TV.
So that was the... It was like a coded message.
I think so, yeah.
It was a decoy to get him to watch the TV. The prophecy could have been, hey, over the phone, hey, mate, watch the TV tonight at 8:06.
Yeah.
But that would have been too straightforward.
No. Mm. That wouldn't have been cryptozoology enough.
It feels like we're almost all playing a skeptic. Can one of you guys believe in this?
Okay, I'll be a believer now.
Thank you, man.
Okay.
Because I do as well, but I need one of you two. I thought one of you was.
I was the skeptic.
I'm the believer. I am the believer.
Oh, sorry, I got you.
I just wish that the prophecies were a bit more straightforward.
Okay, great.
You can believe, but also ask for a better product.
It's very true, yeah.
I think that's
like that's Apple, okay.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like my Apple products, wish they're a bit better. Better in life, you know?
Believe in them.
Yeah, tell me about that.
But just want them a bit better.
When the tragically the bridge collapsed during peak hour, 67 people fell into the river, 46 died. Two of those bodies were never found. According to Coleman, several people who died in that small town bridge accident were related to witnesses of Mothman.
Oh my goodness.
Keep quiet.
In that very small town. Yep. Some of the people who died were related to people who had seen Mothman.
Yeah, the Mothman knows what's up.
That is amazing.
Isn't that amazing? Dave?
I'm out. Yeah, wow. Wow.
Thank you.
But just give me a sec. Thank you. I just needed to process that because I'm just mind blown. I was going to say I'm blown. Yeah. I got excited, okay?
When the bridge collapsed, people started connecting the Mothman to the tragedy, which, you know, makes sense because it was clearly connected.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God. John Keel wrote a book in 1975 called The Mothman Prophecies.
Oh my goodness.
Claiming that claiming that the sightings were precognitions and premonitions that the Silver Bridge was going to collapse. Since that time, some have claimed that the Mothman has been sighted before in other cities, before other big tragedies. Some saying it was sighted before 9/11.
Jeez.
Finding very little evidence to back that up.
They saw
apart from a couple of people saying, some say.
Yeah, right.
They saw the Mothman.
Yeah. They saw a big winged creature in the sky just before the 9/11.
Traveling 1 foot off the ground at 100 miles per hour.
Yeah, but I haven't found nothing to back that up. But anyway, so that was the book that was turned
into
the movie.
Imagine if you did find something to back that up.
What would become of me?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Good thing you didn't. Jeez. Good thing you didn't find anything to back that up.
Next thing I know, I'd be going over a bridge.
Oh, no. I haven't seen the Mothman Prophecies, much like you guys, but I do hope there is a scene with Richard Gere holding a bunch of batteries and a 600ml bottle of water, watching TV, going, "It's happening!"
I like, because they wrote the book later, going, "Yeah, yeah, it's all. It was a sign. They told me that the bridge was going to collapse via, you know, the batteries. It was all definitely." A little bit of rewriting history there.
Do you reckon it was pretty easy to get your book made into a film about 15 years ago? I mean, did Hollywood run out of ideas?
No, now they've run out of ideas.
I think Hollywood's got endless great ideas.
That's what I meant.
Oh, yeah.
I phrased it weird.
They turned a book about a guy watching the TV and saying, that's what I meant. And they made that into an hour and a half Richard Gere movie.
I think maybe that was the era where they... Mothman Prophecies does sound like the kind of movie that your grandma gets tricked into buying because she knows you like the Batman movies, and she's like, "Oh, the Mothman, he's going to like that as well." That's why that movie exists.
It's a $2 shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks kind of like Batman, but you look closer.
It's Mothman.
With a 7-meter wingspan, and it transforms into a lump.
A lump on the road.
On the road. You have to buy the road separately, but... bloody hell. Hotcakes. While Keel believes that the Mothman sightings were warnings of the bridge collapse, another theory suggests that the Mothman may have actually been part of a centuries-old curse.
So I love a good curse.
This is the other big theory. In the late 18th century, a Shawnee chief named Hokalesqua, sorry about the pronunciation there, anglified into, that translates basically to Chief Cornstalk. He was brutally executed with his son and a few others when visiting Fort Randolph on a diplomatic mission. This guy apparently was a real good guy. Initially, he was like fighting white settlers off, but then sort of came. He was trying to bring peace.
Mm-hmm.
Diplomatic mission. Some a-hole knocks him off. There's a story. Admittedly, again, not heaps of evidence to back this up. That when he lay dying, the chief said, "I came to your house a friend, and you murdered me. You have murdered by my side my son, and for this, may the curse of the Great Spirit rest upon this spot. May it be blighted by nature, its enterprises blasted, and the energies of its people paralyzed by the stain of our blood." And that curse has become known as the curse of Chief Cornstalk.
It's incredibly articulate as he lay dying.
No, right? He had a lot of time. They just let him...
Yeah, I don't think there's any references of the time of that quote. I think it's sort of come around later on. But anyway, this website, Blumhouse.com, which I think is... You know that one?
No.
I think it's like some sort of horror movie...
Oh, I see.
Blumhouse.
Database, Blumhouse.com. So I've gone to some pretty rock solid...
You've gone to some dark places. Are you ever going to emerge is the question.
Have you ever accidentally visited bumhouse.com?
Because
I have. That's great.
I'm all right. I'm looking it up.
Oh, here we go. I love... this is my Mothman prophecy. I reckon that this is a sexy, sexy website.
Bumhouse.com, you reckon? No, it doesn't exist.
Oh.
Bumhouse.com.
You guys have to buy it now.
Oh, damn it. We'll have to get that. If there's any internet savvy people
Why would that be a... That'd be the weirdest name for a porn site, Bumhouse.
No, that seems like the Aussiest name for a porn site.
Bumhouse. All right, well, if anyone out there
Bumhouse.com.
If you're an internet savvy person, you want to get that website, that would be so good.
Bumhouse. Anyway, so they listed tragedies that have occurred in and around the area. These include December 6, 1907. In the nearby county of Marion, the worst coal mine disaster in American history took place, killing over 360 miners.
So this curse is so rampant, it's going to other towns now.
Yeah, it's going to nearby towns.
Wow!
We said this, I mean, at the time, maybe he didn't know...
He didn't know where the lines were, the county lines were going to be. That's true, yeah.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
April 21st, 1930, fire rips through the Ohio State Penitentiary in Columbus, less than 80 miles from where Chief Cornstalk was killed. Reports say the prisoners burned to death in their cells as guards refused to let them out while the fire engulfed their penitentiary. By the time the flames were extinguished, 320 people were dead.
Whoa. They just locked them up. They didn't let them out.
Yeah, that's a nightmare.
That's brutal.
June 1944, the region was rocked by a series of deadly tornadoes. The incident, which lasted 2 days, left 134 people dead. August 10th, 1968, 9 months after the Silver Bridge collapse, Piedmont Flight 230 crashed on its landing approach to Kanawha Airport, located 30 miles from Mason County. 35 people killed. November 14th, 1970, a Southern Airways DC-9 crashed into a mountain near Huntington, West Virginia, just over the Mason County border. All 75 on board were killed. March 2nd, 1976, a man walks into the Mason County Jail in Point Pleasant with a shotgun and a bag full of dynamite.
That is a recipe for disaster.
He asked to spend the night with his wife, who was being held after murdering the couple's two-month-old baby. He detonates the explosives, leveling the jail and killing five people, his wife and himself. January 1978, a train derailment...
The evidence just continues to build.
Doesn't it, though?
In Point Pleasant, dumped thousands of gallons of chemicals. The toxic mess seeped its way into the ground, poisoning several wells.
Oh, this Mothman's in everything.
Wow, he's a shapeshifter.
This isn't the Mothman. This is the chief's curse.
The curse.
And the Mothman was somehow a manifestation of the curse.
The curse, yeah.
In one moment, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
April 27th, 1978. I don't know if we need to keep going through this. A cooling tower being constructed at the Willow Island Power Station collapsed, killing 51 construction workers. So there's a bunch of different things. I mean, I imagine if you looked at any place, not to be play the role of the skeptic here, mm-hmm. I know that's your role.
Because you're a believer.
I'm a mm-hmm. believer. But you could probably find a series of tragedies in any place if you went like they did over a century or more. But,
no.
No? Sorry. We're flipped here.
Yep, that's right. No tragedies.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a crazy outlier.
Yeah. According to the article, the chief's curse was believed to have a lifespan of 200 years, which explains why no other disasters have been attributed to the chief since 1978.
Wow.
How are you guys feeling about this? I know you started out skeptic. Mm-hmm. You started out believer. How do you feel about it now? You going anyway? Any theory? I mean, I've sort of thrown a couple of theories at you.
Uh-huh.
Curse,
sure. Mm-hmm.
Coming to warn about a bridge collapsing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Prophesizing.
Yes.
Or birds.
Why not all three?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah,
that is a good point. Okay.
I'm thinking he was warning about the bridge. Because has he been seen since? Since the bridge? So they still continue to see the Mothman.
Do you think the Mothman was trying to warn them about the bridge the whole time?
Yeah, but like,
maybe he's the hero in this.
Because the Mothman wasn't killing anyone.
That's kind of what they're saying. Yeah,
it was just sort of trying to flag down a car.
That's the Keel theory. It was a Keel or Peel? Keel theory. is that he was prophesizing. He was warning the town.
Yeah, because he wasn't hurting anyone. He was just sort of stalking.
I mean, he could have used his words. That's what I'd say. Yeah. Use your words, mate. Do you think you being a weird Mothman in front of a car is going to make people think a bit over a year later a bridge is going to collapse?
Mm.
I mean, of course they should.
Absolutely yeah. they should.
Mary but you're trusting people too much.
Mary in the back seat was yelling that over and over again, but people were so paranoid they thought she was the Moth.
Yeah.
So that's they true. Didn't trust her. And tragically, the bridge collapsed.
Maybe the lump, when he was the lump, maybe the lump was some sort of interpretive dance situation.
I love a lumpy dance.
And they're supposed to go, okay, if we run him over like a bridge.
Right. And then they would have connected all the pieces would have fallen into place.
And if you run over the lump, it will turn to dust, much like the bridge collapsing.
Mm. Oh, this guy's good.
How could they not see that?
They were so stupid.
And high. Probably.
Yeah, well, that was probably why.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Those fools.
Driving 100 miles per hour.
According to skeptic Joe Nickel, a number of the hoaxes followed the original reports.
That's a bit of a... Using the word hoax, that's a bit of a spin there.
Mm. Yeah, sorry to editorialise there.
Yeah.
Classic skeptic.
Ugh.
Showing his true colours there. I don't know if he realises it, but he sounds a little bit like he's got a bloody dog in this fight.
Mm.
Sounds a bit like a skeptic.
Is that the right phrase to use there? Yep.
Yep.
Heard David Letterman say that a lot, and I really always liked it, and I've always wanted to say it out loud.
That was your chance.
He used to be like, I don't have a dog in this fight.
Yeah.
And that would mean that he didn't have a dog. Like, he was talking about dog fighting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, what a noble man.
That famous David Letterman segment, dog fight.
Yeah. And he would always say, I don't have a dog in this fight.
The famous David Letterman segment,
Do I run a dogfighting ring? Every week you do it. Every week you'd be like, no, good night, everyone.
I can confirm, good night. The new album is out now.
Is this anything? No, I do not have a dog in this fight. That was when they merged two classic segments.
Top 10 list in dogfighting.
Dave's top 10 times he didn't have a dog in the fight.
So according to Joe Nickel, these hoaxes included one time a group of construction workers tied flashlights to helium balloons.
Mm-hmm.
He also attributed other reports. He basically said the Mothman doesn't exist at all. Which I don't even think we're discussing, right? Obviously, it exists.
Yeah, I've been turned around. He definitely exists.
And what level does he exist?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why does he exist?
Yeah. Like, we've moved beyond whether or not he does exist. It's about why.
We've proved it beyond reasonable doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But this Joker, Joe Nickel, he's stuck on level one, still trying to figure out if he exists or not. And he seems to think that the Mothman reports are all due to pranks, misidentified planes. No one's thinking a plane is a Mothman.
Absolutely not.
And also sightings of a barred owl.
Huh.
A Shakespearean owl.
Yeah, the bard.
Wow.
Yeah. He was doing sonnets. And I think that's why they thought maybe it was a man. But interestingly, it was actually a man dressed as a woman, because at that point, women were not allowed to play owls.
That's right.
Mm. Thank God we're in a more progressive society now.
Thank
women
you.
Can be owls. It's 2017.
The town of Point Pleasant isn't an idiot. I'd like to say that. Okay, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
They've begun cashing in on the Mothman phenomenon. In 2002, the year that the Mothman Prophecies movie came out, Point Pleasant held its first annual Mothman Festival. If you want to get involved, it's on in a couple of weeks.
Really?
Yeah, it's on the third weekend of September every year. What kind of fun can you expect is what eyes were sort of asking there.
Mm-hmm. I'm so keen.
Well, there's a variety of events, and these include guest speakers.
Great. Richard Gere.
Guest moths.
Hayride tours, obviously focusing on the notable areas of Point Pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And also a Mothman pancake eating contest.
Very nice.
Wow. Sticking true to the story, I love it. Mm. They won't invent crazy little gimmicks. They'll only focus on moth-related events.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
Where did the Mothman get his strength?
Several hundred pancakes.
A short stack. That's how he got him.
After the inaugural festival in 2003, they unveiled a 12-foot statue of the creature by sculptor Rob Roach. Bob Roach.
Bob Roach, Mothman.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you think he
I think he's the Mothman, yeah.
Bob Roach.
Yeah.
I didn't even see that, but that's so clear now.
Mm-hmm.
I want a 12-foot statue, even though all the reports said it was a 10-foot man.
See, that's classic Bob Roach behavior. Just
a little bit bigger.
Tooting his own horn, you know what I mean?
I think because
I reckon he was probably 12 and a great lover. That's probably what it is.
If he built it to the right size when he stood next to it, people would have been like, oh,
he's the son. Yeah, that's right.
And he's got big moth wings.
That's right, yeah.
So Bob Roach is 10 foot tall.
Yeah, 10 foot tall sculpture builds 12 foot tall statue.
He couldn't possibly be me. Mm. I'm 2 foot shorter than this.
In 2005, the Mothman Museum and Research Center was opened. So this town has basically stripped out any other industry.
Yeah, right.
It is now a Mothman town.
The milk bar is now the moth bar.
They live in a moth economy. Which,
Moth-Connolds.
If you'd heard of... Yeah, Moth-Connolds is... I think, yeah. If you would have heard the term moth economy...
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Well, that's where it comes from.
That's amazing. There's moth economies everywhere.
Yeah, moth economies. Yeah.
Yep. I think it's one of the single largest moth economies in the entire world.
It is, yes.
I'm always ordering Uber Moth, you know, for transport and also late night food.
Do they record the Moth Story Slam there?
They do, yes.
Every week.
Every week. Right. Every day. Uber Moth. Yeah, you can choose Uber Moth and then Uber Moth Black.
Yep.
When you can fly.
Incredible.
For Uber Moth X, you just cruise really fast on the ground.
Right. Is it? But Uber Black is obviously a lot less dusty.
Yes.
Mm. Uber Moth tuxedos.
Uber Moth X, you also occasionally will have to turn into a lump.
That's right.
So it does take a little longer to get from A to B.
But it's cheaper, so.
Yeah. Mm, so I think it is worth it. Even for, yeah. The lumpy moments.
If you turn this way too much, you do lose a little bit on the mic.
All right. I'll look this way.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll never look this way, Dave.
Never look at me.
Thank God, an excuse to never look this way ever again.
Woof. Don't worry, I'll...
Oh, no, I don't like this.
I like how on the Weekly Planet, you leave in any sort of, any chat about, can you just move closer to the mic?
Yeah, right.
That's better. Yep, like that.
Uh-huh.
So good.
Feels like, real, man.
I'm like, oh, could we get away with that?
Here's a little peek behind the curtain.
Dave's like,
no. Here's a little peek behind the curtain, guys. Sometimes we add those in. I'm fine at the level of the microphone I am, but we're like, guys, we've got to be more relatable, you know? Yeah. You know, we're sitting there in our golden tuxedos and we're like, how do we relate to the common man? Let's pretend we're having microphone issues.
That's very good. Mm. We have to pretend we don't. A little different, slightly different angle, but we're no pros. We haven't done 200, we've only done...
98.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the report done. But before I finish up, I'll just talk briefly about the bridge again. So this bridge,
mm-hmm.
some say that it collapsed because of the curse and the Mothman mm-hmm. had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And others say the Mothman was...
He was warning against
it. Warning against it. So after the bridge collapsed, an investigation of the wreckage was carried out. It pointed to the cause of the collapse being a Mothman. That's all I got on it.
Well, that's pretty conclusive, I feel. Yeah, I mean,
I can't
yeah. You could have just, you could, you, if you'd started with that, I would have been much more of a believer the whole time. If you just said, listen, this was Mothman caused.
Yeah, I wanted to keep that up my sleeve because, I thought a little suspense.
No, that's good. That's you good, built a good story. Mate,
so I believe you were the Scully there. And what happens on the X-Files is, despite irrefutable evidence that aliens exist, including several encounters and abductions of yourself personally.
That's true.
You still remain skeptical 10 years after the first episode.
It is tricky that she does that. How does she do that?
It's very strange. Mulder, aliens, I don't know about this. It's like, you've been abducted. You know that.
Mm.
Anyway.
That's a good skeptic. That's classic.
Yeah, you're so skeptical. you can't be tamed.
Just like bloody Joe Nickel all over again. But also, sorry, that was sort of a subsection of the report. I did read another report into the wreckage. I've really contradicted myself very quickly there. Subsection, then another report. Just go with me. The Mothman's making me say this. And that report said that the collapse was due to a failure of a single eye bar in the suspension chain, which was due to a small defect. It was also found that the bridge was carrying much heavier loads than it had originally been designed for and had been poorly maintained by the Mothman. So, I wonder, like, if that's the case, then maybe the Mothman, rather than just saying it's going to collapse, just say, could just get the trucks off there. Make it cars and bikes only.
Mm. Check the suspension.
Get a guy bloke out there with a welding torch and maybe fix that eye bar. Whatever an eye bar is. Get a new eye bar, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I was just... Why didn't the Mothman just bring a new eye bar?
Yeah, at 100 miles an hour, minimum.
Sounds like a real selfish prick.
This guy travels at the speed of light, apparently.
The bridge was replaced by the Silver Memorial Bridge, which was completed in 1969.
Is it
very good year?
Is it still there?
It's still there.
Oh, thank goodness.
But if you think the Mothman is done, you were wrong.
Oh. I definitely thought it was done, especially because about 5 minutes ago you said, that's the end of the Mothman report.
Well, I was wrong.
We were all wrong.
We can all admit we're wrong.
There have been sightings around the place, all around the world of the Mothman. But this
gone
year...
gone global.
This year, the Chicago Tribune has reported that it has had the largest amount of Mothman sightings since Point Pleasant in the 60s.
Wow.
Paranormal researcher Lon Strickler has chronicled 21 alleged Mothman sightings in Chicago this year alone, 2017. I cannot find any other grouping like this, Strickler has said. This is according to the Chicago Tribune article. Just finishing up on this here. The earliest of these sightings was on April the 7th in Oz Park. Strickler said it was reported to a colleague, Manuel Navarrete, at UFO Clearinghouse.
We've got too many UFOs. We're busting them out the door at crazy prices.
If it's on the floor, it's out the door. And it's a UFO. I mean, we've identified them. They're not flying.
It's still an object.
It's an object.
Look, I won't lie to you. They're rugs.
They're rugs.
We've got too many rugs.
Too many rugs, but...
They're flying carpet.
Make us an offer. A woman walking her dog. This is the first of these. I'll just talk about it. I won't go through all 21. I'll just go through this one, which I thought was fun. A woman walking her dog claimed she encountered a creature standing in the park.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
This is what she said. I saw a large man, probably 7 feet or taller, standing on the ground.
Oh, no.
Jeez.
She's seen a big, big man.
It was solid black, but what really stood out were the large, and I do mean large, pair of wings that were folded behind him.
Mm.
I imagine that made him sort of out of sight to her.
And what does she mean solid black? Did she perform some sort of biopsy to see that he was black all the way through?
Yeah, solid black.
How does she know?
I don't know. Anyway, I'm just quoting a very reliable source.
Your quote is so believable. I thought you became her, and I got angry at you, and I apologize.
No, that's okay. That wasn't your fault. The account said the creature looked at the woman before spreading its wings and flying off. I guess that's when she probably saw the wings.
Probably twigged. Yeah, yeah.
I should have read the next sentence. And this is her again. Sorry, Dave. So I'm acting.
Right. Sorry. Yep. Mm. Oh.
I mean. Feel free to go with it, but...
This You're is a stupid a... woman! Oh, sorry. Sorry. Didn't mean that at all.
I felt like this thing could see right through me, read me. It knew what I was thinking, like it could stare right into my very soul. It was the most terrified I had ever been in my life.
Wow. I just wish people could see the acting that went into your eyes.
That was just a couple of months ago.
Jeez.
Has Chicago checked all their bridges and their T-bone suspensions?
I don't think so.
Do they have enough bottled water and batteries, just in case?
No.
Do they have one eye on the television at all times?
Mm-hmm.
To find out after tragedy has struck.
Do they have a lover's lane to get high at?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, that's all right then. We'll be fine.
Anyway, that was the Mothman. Jess was meant to do the report this week.
Uh-huh.
She's not here.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows where she is. ?
Jess is the Mothman.
Jess is the Mothman.
I've never done a report about the Mothman and seen Jess looking at me at the same time.
That's absolutely true, isn't it?
So many questions.
Mm.
So now I believe neither of you are the Mothman.
Oh, thank God.
But if the Mothman is in this room...
Speak now!
Forever hold your dust.
If look to your left... Are they the Mothman? Look to your right. Are they the Mothman? If not, then you are the Mothman.
Oh my goodness, I think I am.
Do that at home as well, everyone.
If you could, yeah. There's, yeah.
Is this the worst episode we've ever done?
No, that was great. That was a spooky, spooky story.
It's very spooky.
Matt, can you just say, you wrote this late last night, / early this morning, alone in a motel room.
Yeah, I've done
it. Was that terrifying?
Yeah, so I'm staying in a motel room over the weekend. This is a pre-organized writing weekend for the upcoming Fringe that starts in a week.
Interesting.
So I did that, not thinking I'd have to end up spending my time writing about a Mothman.
How could you not?
So if you
that?
Come to the Fringe show, I may have a bit about Mothman. So I'm staying in this motel alone. I'm watching these documentaries about and stuff that are like really hyped up towards trying to make you feel spooked out.
Mm.
And I was feeling weird. Not as weird as I felt as I checked in to this motel 2 suburbs away from my house. And I had to I signed in at 10:30 p.m. and had to write my address of 2 and just be like, man, I'm not here on some sort of a sex thing. I know you think this is a sex thing or that I've been divorced or something.
Trouble.
Yes. I'm here for writing. Mm-hmm. I'm here to pursue the creative arts.
Mm.
And he just winked at me.
Nice.
He said, of course you are, mate. Yeah. We get 20 of you a night.
Yeah, people come in. I'm a comedian. Yeah, they're all bloody comedians, mate.
I'm on a 1-hour research project for comedy.
Got my friend coming over.
Mm-hmm.
She's helping me with the research.
About the Mothman.
About the Mothman.
Matt, if you said that to the manager of this motel. Mate, they all talk about the Mothman.
Yeah, they just check the box. It says, I'm here for the Mothman.
The Mothman special?
Yep. Business pleasure or Mothman? Mothman, okay.
Oh, I love the Mothman, and I do believe. I want to believe. I did want to believe at the start of the episode, and now I do believe.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I At the start of the research, I'm like, Mothman, well, this will be fun. But it turns out it wasn't fun. It was bloody amazing.
Terrifying.
And terrifying. Mm. And life-changing. Now I'm going to be, I'm looking out for the Mothman. And when I see it, I'll know. Tragedy follows after.
Just a little silence there so you can think about the Mothman in your own time. And how he's affected your life.
That's what I was doing in that time. And he's affected me thusly. Just had an awkward encounter at a motel. And now I've made the worst Do Go On report on record.
No, I thought that was a great report, Matt. So we thank you. Thank you. We'd also like to thank everyone that supports the show via Patreon.
Nick Very Mason, nice.
Have you heard of the Patreon?
Love a bit of a Patreon.
Love a bit of Patreon.
Some Patreons.
I'll show you how we do
get
it here.
Get some Patreons.
Mason.
Yes.
I'll thank a couple.
Okay.
And then you can find inspiration. Maybe you can, if you have, think of anyone to thank.
Okay.
That'd be great, but no pressure.
Okay.
Because this is not, you don't have a dog in this fight.
I don't have a dog. This is not the hill I want to die on.
Yeah. You don't have a moth in this, man. I'd love to thank, from a place that apparently is real, Penicuik Midlothian, which sounds like...
Lord of the Rings.
Sorry,
Lord
of the Rings. Is that the name of the place or the person?
That's the name of the place.
Oh, right.
The name of the person is Ryan Watson.
Oh, Ryan Watson from Mordor. I love that guy.
What a guy. So, yeah, I'd really like to thank him because I like him a lot. What, are we doing anything this week to them? Dave, Joe?
I don't know. Well,
if they were a something man, what would they be? I think Ryan Watson would be a...
An everyman.
He'd be an everyman.
Everyman.
He'd be your everyman. And I'd also love to thank from Missouri City, Texas, Matt Lass. Matt Lass. I reckon Matt Lass is an ass man.
Lass the ass man.
Lass the ass man.
Very nice.
Yeah. And I reckon he'd love the bumhouse.com.
Bumhouse.com. Hey, that's apparently it's up for grabs. If you want it, Lass, get
Thanks
on
so
it.
Much, Lassie. Here, boy.
He's the dog man.
Good dog. Dog boy.
He's gone from ass man to dog boy. Take your pick.
Yeah. You're your own sidekick.
Meso, would you like to
thank? Oh, I'd love to thank some people from the great... I was going to say state of Virginia. Is that correct?
Yes.
Virginia State?
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah, we were just talking about West Virginia.
That's true, we were.
In well, just West Virginia, born and raised on a Mothman.
Wow, this person lives closer to the Mothman than we do.
Maybe Holy shit, I didn't even put that together.
Yeah, they live a lot closer.
Wow.
Well, just in Original Recipe Virginia, thank you for supporting the show, John Shearer.
John Shearer.
He's a
sheep
man.
Sheep man, no doubt about it.
He's a sheep man.
Good on you, Johnny.
Yep. And I'd also like to thank, he's from he's from Miami, Florida. So you'd think he's American as apple pie or whatever they have in Florida. But I feel he's one of your most Australian Patreon supporters because he's Stephen Summo.
Stevie Summo.
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 Bumhouse.com.
What is Summo short for, Stephen? Do you know? He can't talk to us.
Can't talk to us. He's not really
Forget
here.
That.
It's not a call-in.
Forget that. Stephen Summer, great name from Miami. Mm. Could be the Heat Man.
Could be the Heat Man.
That's the basketball team in very Miami. Nice. Or the Dolphin Man. I think that's their football team.
Yep. It is. Miami Dolphins, it is.
Well, I'd like to thank a long-time supporter of the show. And we couldn't work out whether we'd thanked you out loud on the show before because he's one of the longest supporters on Patreon. So we do apologize if we never have. But if we double up, hey, this person is worth it. They came to the live show last week. They supported us in Sydney. They bought a damn T-shirt. And I would like to thank Cecil Hops. Cecil Hops. Beer man.
Beer man.
Beer man.
Beer man. Oh, because of hops. Okay. Hops. I was thinking Bunny Man because of hops.
Oh, I would
Drunk Bunny
actually
Man.
Think that Cecil would be Pony Man because he's My Little Pony was the topic that he suggested.
Oh yes,
Pony Man, Pony that's Man, good. Sparkle Man.
Oh, Sparkle,
Mr. Sparkle Man,
Mr. Sparkle. That's good. So thank you, Cecil, for all your support over the years, all the months, and we'd also like to thank all the way from London, James Marshall, Cop Man,
Cop Man,
Tommy Lee Jones Man.
Eminem Man? Oh, U.S. Marshals.
And also The Fugitive. I believe he was in The Marshals.
That's right, yeah.
Marshall Manners.
Yes.
Mathers?
No, Manners.
Yeah, but the man. Manners.
Yeah, I'm with you. Eminem Man. James, you've got so many to choose from there. You choose your favorite. That's on you. It's on you. But thank you to everyone who does support the show through Patreon. Basically, we formed a subscription there. So if you really, really like the show, you can support us via patreon.com/dogoonpod, and you get an amazing shout-out like that, and also bonus episode once a month, which will be coming up soon.
And I should thank once more the people that I remember who suggested this show. Sorry if you were left out. Blame the Mothman. He left your names in a pile of dust on a road somewhere out in West Virginia. But the people I do know, Elvis Nolasco, Fidel Reyes, Tyler Thompson, and Chesley Russell.
I reckon if you put those together, that's forming a warning about something that will happen in Melbourne.
If anyone can figure that out, let us know.
Please, the Zodiac style.
In the meantime, just stay off the West Cape Bridge. Just in case.
Just in case.
They're doing roadworks. You'll be on there for hours.
Yeah. You do not. Just in case you want to be on time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we'd like to thank Nick Mason for being our very special guest this week.
You're welcome, guys. Always have a good old time, guys.
We love having you here. And of course, for the three or four people who listen to this that don't listen to the Weekly Planet, please get on it because it is one of the greatest podcasts out there.
I'll stop it, you guys. In fact, you know what? Don't listen to the Weekly Planet. Go to planetbcasting.com because we're all on Planet Broadcasting, the network, and there's heaps of great shows.
Well, we would have heard you before the show started, and we'll hear you again after it finishes.
Oh, yeah. I hate that take. There's a little we do a little audio sting. It's myself and James, who's the other host of my podcast, and we did that in one take, and we hate it.
Really?
But that's the thing. Like, everybody on Planet Broadcasting is on there because I love all the shows and I listen to all the shows every week. So now I have to listen to my dumb voice every time I listen to every podcast that I enjoy. So I skip it. I skip it every time, yeah.
No,
I start it up and I go, skip ahead 15 seconds.
Matt, does this ever happen to you? Because I love so many shows on Planet Broadcasting, one episode will finish and so I'll be listening to two in the think tank.
Yep.
That'll finish. Then Josh Earls, Don't You Know Who I Am, auto plays via the podcast app.
Yep.
It's back-to-back stings.
Yeah.
It's so great. And I feel like I'm supporting the brand.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right?
Can you do it? You remember it? You would have heard it so many times.
This podcast is part of Planet Broadcasting. Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Oh, it's so bad. We're going to do another take.
Or if you want. It's up to you. Oh, man. We don't even need to do it this week.
I know, right? Just put that in.
That was great.
Well, that's Dave, a new take. You can just put that in.
Mm-hmm.
Claire can cut that out and just send it around all the pods.
Anyway, just go to planetbcasting.com. All sorts of great shows.
What's your favourite show on Planet Broadcasting outside your own and ours?
And what have you been listening to lately, Matt?
Boy, I love Two in the Think Tank. That's a great one. Our friends Al and Andy put
recorded
together.
Recorded in this very studio.
It's very good. If you like comic books, there's Serious Issues up in Sydney. They record and they talk about all the best and worst comic books coming out this week.
I like, it's fun that they talk about the worst.
It's good, right?
That's the fun part.
Yeah. Good times, guys.
Good times.
Great, so that's just a couple of the pods you can check out at planetbcasting.com. Maso, thank you so much.
Absolutely. We should probably buy bumhouse.com.
Just we should get on that.
Redirect it real quick.
Claire, can we get that? Good. That was a yes. All right, so hit us up if you would like us to do a report on your topic. Lately, we've been getting a few tweets saying, how can we suggest a topic in the hat? And if you are tweeting us, that's exactly the way.
That's how you do it.
You can just tweet us at DoGoOnPod, or you can get in contact on Facebook or Instagram, or you can email us, DoGoOnPod@gmail.com. The hat is always open 24/7, and we love millions and millions of suggestions.
We love them.
We love them.
It's really good. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. Contact us on the things. Did you say that, Dave? I zoned out.
I did say the things.
Great. And also, give us 5 stars on iTunes with a nice review, because that makes us feel real good about ourselves. And we've got very low self-esteem.
We do. And if you are the Mothman, please drop us a line.
Please.
Tell us what you've been up to.
Yes.
Give me a call. Give me some prophecies.
Give us a curse.
Are you an entity?
What are you?
Yeah.
What are you?
Are you a pile of dust?
Are you a big tall man called Bob Roach?
I forgot we uncovered it during.
I think we uncovered it. Yeah.
Like, so he's like, do you think so? He puts on the wings. Is he like an Iron Man guy with a suit of technology, or does he convert somehow? More like one of those ones that converts.
I think he just has the wings, but he distracts with his art.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're like, hey, have you got, what's with the thing? And he's like, look at this sculpture I've made out of tin cans. And they're like, what?
Bob
Roach. This guy's good.
I want to find a photo of him and then an illustration of the Mothman, and I reckon that'll be conclusive.
Merge them together. Yep. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
All right, keep an eye out for that, guys. Until next week, we'll be back, and we will say goodbye.
Laters.
Bye. That's what Jess says.
Oh, nailed it.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This podcast is part of Planet Broadcasting. Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Oh, it's so bad. We're going to do another take.
Or if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.